the Lord's blessing by being here. We have a brand new, beautiful banner. Isn't that lovely? This was donated by the Sheehan family in memory of Laurie's dad. And you can see the work that's gone into that banner, and our ladies group put that work into that banner. So we say thank you to the Sheehan family, and we say thank you to the ladies group for everything they've done on this. And it is beautiful. There's so much detail. So come and have a look at it, but not now, after the service. Come and admire this beautiful banner. It is wonderful. All of the names that Jesus is known by here. Wonderful. We thank her so much. And who managed to get to our party last night? Wasn't it a party? Whoa, it was great. It was excellent. And Diana Page, our miracle worker, where is she? There she is. That roast beef was... And where's Ray Tides? One of those Yorkshire puddings. Good man. What more could you want? Roast beef and Yorkshire puddings. But what a great evening, you know, and a big thank you to everybody who was involved in that, whether by attending or whether by providing or working. And our youth group there out in the kitchen, they worked like anything. Did they ever work hard? And we big thank you to the youth for being out there and helping us in that way. Thanks to everybody. Shut up, Ian. Hand over to Laurie. Laurie will have nothing left to say. I'm saying it all.
Wilma, would you like to come up and say something about the beef supper? There isn't much more.
I hope you're bringing beef.
There's none left. It went really good. I'm just going to repeat everything that Ian just said, but it really was a wonderful evening last night. Yesterday afternoon when I started and I walked into the dessert room and I was a little bit stressed, I said, think we're going to run out, and Joyce came up to me and she said, Wilma, have faith, she said. Remember the bread and the fishes. And it did. It worked out very well. But there are so many people to thank. All the cooks, everybody who donated food, desserts, potatoes, vegetables. It all worked out really nice. The setup people, the cleanup people, the ladies who sat at the bake table, the Sunday school, the decorations were made by the Sunday school. And it was so nice and bright because the kids put all that work into that the week before. Young people for the dishes. And our two beautiful, wonderful piano players that entertained us all night long last night. It was wonderful. And then we had something special, something different last night. We did a silent auction for a lamp that Bob Bergeson donated and did very well on that, and we thank him for that as well. And then, of course, I was going to thank Diane and Ray for all their efforts on their meat and Yorkshire puddings. Thank you.
And Charlie is going to give us a report of the proceeds, I believe.
Oh, and Joanne. So now you get the numbers guy. Last year, the beef supper grossed $1,735. Thanks to $10 I was just handed, this year's beef supper grossed $2,000, right on even $2,000. So after costs of $462, we're showing a profit, which goes to our missions, of $1,538. That's $278 more than last year.
Excellent. And Joanne? Thank you. Sunday, May 13th is Mothering Sunday, and at that time there'll be family worship with Holy Communion. The Ride to Conquer Cancer is coming up once again in June, and Grant is looking for sponsors. Anyone who would like to sponsor Grant, you could, I'm sure, meet up with him after the service. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thanks.
You know, we're talking about the proceeds of the supper last night going to missions. But how do you put a value on the fellowship that took place? in this place last night. It was solid wall-to-wall visiting from 5 o'clock right through to way beyond 7 when it finished, and you can't put a value on that. And that is something that we as a church family can provide every now and then for the whole community. And the community turn out in great numbers, and you can see everyone's enjoying it. Not just the food, but the fellowship and everything that goes with it. It was a great evening. Now then, we're going to celebrate birthdays. Thank you. Anyone who had a birthday in April or prior to that and we missed you, you gave us all your money last night, but we're not satisfied yet. We're going to celebrate April birthdays or anything before then. Come and join us. This Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday, and so you will find that the theme of Jesus the Good Shepherd reoccurring throughout our worship service today. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in the first epistle of John, we receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. What he commands is that we believe in his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as Christ commanded us. We have our approach choruses. They're actually snippets from some old hymns. And I'm going to ask Kathy if she'd be kind enough to lead us in those choruses. Thanks, Kathy.
This is a great old bunch to start our worship with, so please stand. We're going to start out with two verses of No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not
That's great. Let's go on to Standing on the Promises. I was thinking that No Not One's just about like the Apostles' Creed for what it says. Anyway, we'll go on to Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. And while we're there, we're going to sing more about Jesus.
When we sing our choruses, I often feel for Peggy, because in between everything we sing, she's got, first of all, got to find her place somewhere else in the hymn book, and then this organ, it's like the flight deck of a 747. She's pulling on stops and this and that and the other, and putting it into gear and cranking it up, and I don't know how she gets it all done in between us singing our choruses. Thank you, Peggy. Good job as always. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given to us this great joy and this amazing privilege of being able to come together as your family in this your house on this your day. And we thank you, Father, that as we come through the doors, we feel the atmosphere of a family coming together in worship. We rejoice in the presence of our friends. We hug one another, we shake hands, we exchange smiles, we share your wonderful love, and we rejoice, gracious Father, because we know that we are in your holy and gracious presence. As we gather to worship you, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts that you will open our minds and that you will speak to each and every one of us. And as we worship you, Father, we pray that you will accept the praise we bring. For we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, the name which is above every other name. We worship you, Lord, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. When we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The scripture reading is taken from Acts 4, 5 through 12. By whose power have you done this? The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God hath raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Our responsive reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
During the course of this week, the music committee met to put together the music schedule for the coming months. And because we just met during the week, we didn't specifically have the time to plan anybody for this today. But of course, I phoned Sandra and I said to Sandra, I don't suppose you've got anything that you could have ready for Sunday. And let me think about it. Special music from Sandra. Thank you, Sandra.
I'm kind of rethinking that decision right now. Oh, dear. Well, a while ago, Dustin and Howard and I played a song together, and we used a lot of instruments, and it was a lot of fun. But I also had fun practicing that song in my kitchen. And so today you get the kitchen version of it. And it's called Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. needy. Weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. Full of pity, love and power, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you.
Big thank you to Sandra. When you speeded up there, Sandra, was that when the meal was about ready?
There's no rules in my kitchen.
I tell you, there's good things come out of Sandra's kitchen. Thank you very much, Sandra. That was lovely. Thank you so much. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
gracious Father, we are ever thankful for your grace, for your goodness and for your blessings in our lives. And so we come to you now, Lord, with these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Here they all come. Nice to see everyone here. Excellent. I have a story for you this morning, and it is actually a Chinese proverb. A Chinese proverb. Now, how many of you speak Chinese? Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you in English so that you can follow it, okay? You happy about that? Right. There was a tiger, and it caught a fox. It caught a fox. Now then, what do you know about foxes? Fox. What do you know about a fox's nature? They're tricky. They're tricky. Sometimes we say they're sly and they're crafty and they're tricky. And this was a fox. And the fox turned round to the tiger and said, "You should really let me go. Because when God created the fox, he created the fox to be the leader of the whole team of animals in the world." And the tiger said, "Yeah, right. Yeah, right." And so the fox said, "Look, why don't you follow me through the jungle? And if any animal dares to attack me, you can eat me. But if nobody attacks me, you'll have to let me go." And the tiger says, "Right, off we go." And so the fox walked through the jungle, and the tiger was right behind him. And how many animals do you think attacked the fox?
None.
That's right, not. How did you know that? Now, why do you think that was?
Because it's one that's dangerous.
It's dangerous, a tiger, isn't it? If you saw a nice little kitten walking through the jungle, and a tiger walking behind it, would you go and pick that kitten up?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. And that's what that Chinese proverb is about. The proverb tells you that sometimes who you walk with or who walks with you is the one who protects you in life. And at the beginning of the service, we said the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. And what that means is that God walks with us all the time in life. And if we acknowledge that God is our Savior, he looks after us and he protects us. And nothing can get us, just like a tiger walking behind you. Nothing can get you. And that's what that little story is about. So can you remember that one? It's a Chinese proverb and it's called The Fox and the Tiger. Let's say a little prayer together. You talking a lot today, aren't you? You're talking more than me. She brought me a bouquet of flowers last night. They were lovely, loveliest dandelions I've ever seen. They were beautiful, thank you. Let's say a little prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you that you watch over us, that you care for us, and because of that, we can say with confidence that the Lord is my shepherd. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us, and bless us especially as we worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Over to you, Kathy.
So broad and so strong.
There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big,
so strong and so
mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too.
Scotty. Thank you, Kathy. I don't know how you do it. I hope you survived it well. Thank you so much. And now we continue our worship as we stand and we sing to the glory of God. Verses 1 to 4 of How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Hymn number 94. Standing, watching everyone coming into church this morning, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw one person in particular walk in, and that was Lita Reed. Here's Lita back with us already. She's our $6 million person here, with spare parts to spare. And isn't that marvellous? Lita said to me, "You know what I really prayed for? I prayed for this, to be here this morning." Ta-da! Answered prayer. Great to have you here, Lita. That's wonderful. Excellent. And I think she's gone through some pretty painful times and still is, but she prayed that she would have the strength to be in church today to give glory to God. Good to see you, Lita. Good to see you. Another example of how the Lord above answers our prayers. He hears every single one of them. What we need is the grace to accept his answer, because the answer isn't always as we want it to be. And that's why we pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving shepherd, our caring father, we thank you that you have called us once again to this place where we know that we are safe, that we are loved, and we are cared for. We worship you and are thankful that because we belong to you, we are so richly provided for. And when times of trouble come our way, you always lead us beside still waters, and you restore our souls. Father, each of us has at some time walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But thankfully, Father, when we have placed our faith and our trust in you, you take away our fears. You are with us, and we are protected by your mighty presence. And Lord, when times come to us when we are ill, in body, in mind, or in spirit, you are still with us. Even though we frequently fail to see you and we deny ourselves everything that we can receive by acknowledging your presence, your healing power. And so we ask you, Father, to look with compassion on those whom we know of who suffer at this time, who suffer in any way. And we ask you to hear us, great healer, as we whisper their names right now before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us this amazing and powerful gift of prayer. And we confess, Lord, that this amazingly powerful gift that you have so graciously given to us is a gift that very often we neglect. Forgive us, Father, and teach us again the power of prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that you not only hear our prayers, but that you also answer our prayers. Grant us, we pray, the wisdom to hear your voice as you respond to our petitions in so many different ways. And we ask you again, Father, to grant us the grace to accept your will in our lives. And help us always to pray as our Savior prayed in the garden when he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Lord, hear us as we worship you. Hear us as we thank you for this day. We ask you, Father, to bless your church and protect all, especially those who are persecuted for your name's sake. And we ask, Holy Father, that you will be with us in the week ahead. And we pray that your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from John 10, verses 7 to 18. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." And the epistle this morning is from 1 John 3, verses 16 to 24. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks to Beth for those readings from the Scriptures. We appreciate the reading of them. And now we rise again and we sing to God's glory, hymn 462, Saviour, like a shepherd lead us.
Pleasant path.
Rufus is singing on. He enjoyed that hymn. He continues to sing. Good for him. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think we all are aware that we are a congregational church. And I wonder sometimes if we know what that means. Sometimes people will say to me, is this a new kind of a branch of the church, congregational? Is it new? Is it old? Where did it come from? And so on. And I just wondered if we all knew who we are and where we come from. The word congregation comes from the verb, obviously, to congregate. And congregate is made up of two Latin words. The Latin word com, which means together, and the other Latin word is greg or grex, and you probably don't pronounce it like that, which means flock. So congregate means to come together as a flock. And as this is Good Shepherd Sunday, you're probably starting to see where I'm going with this. Coming together as a flock. The first North American Congregationalists were 17th century settlers in New England. They were Protestant Christians out of the Puritan Reformation in England. They were called separatists. And they were called that because they separated themselves from the Church of England. And I tell you this for a reason. I want to draw your attention to the foundation stones which are found in all of those ancient congregational churches, particularly in the New England area. Now, where a normal foundation stone would normally say something like New England Congregational Church, founded in 1640, the stones found in the ancient New England congregation churches, they say New England Congregational Church gathered in 1940. Gathered in 1940. So if we want to remain in keeping with our congregational heritage, we need a plaque outside saying Cremona Congregational Church gathered in 1989. Because that was when this congregation, this particular one, was established as a flock, came together as a flock. The Greek word which is translated shepherd also translates as pastor, one who seeks the well-being of the flock. Now in our gospel reading today, Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. So is Jesus telling us here that his role is to watch over us and to care for us? Yes, he is telling us that. But he could also be telling us something else as well. If we look at those two capitalized words, I am, what does I am mean? Let me take you briefly back to the book of Exodus. The story of how God used Moses to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt. And long before they actually left Egypt, God called Moses to a position of leadership in his church. You'll recall that God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. The bush kept on burning. It was never extinguished. And from that burning bush came the voice of God. And at that time, Moses was going about his work. He was doing his job. He was a shepherd. And Moses was just an ordinary guy. And he reacted in a very ordinary way when God called him to this monumental task. He didn't want to do it. Aren't we all like that? God calls us to do something in the church and He was the same. He started immediately looking for excuses as to why he shouldn't do this job. He grasped at anything he could think of. And one of his excuses was, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, oh yeah, what is his name? What shall I tell them? Names in those days were very important. A name carried with it a great deal of authority. Moses knew that they would ask him that question, and he knew that he would need a very persuasive answer. And this was God's answer. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am is the name that God gave himself. God is I am. I am is God. So when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is not only telling us that he will guide us, that he will lead us, that he will protect us and care for us. He is also telling us who he is. I am. In his gospel, John frequently emphasizes who Jesus is. That is what John's gospel is all about. Telling us who Jesus is. And he does this by identifying Jesus' own claims to his divinity through his I am sayings. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the gate. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. And every time Jesus spoke these words, he quite deliberately uses the I am, the name of God, to reveal to us who he is. I am is God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. In John chapter 8, the Jews were questioning Jesus about his claims about himself. And Jesus said something interesting to them. John 8, verse 58, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it, and it was glad, and he was glad. And they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. George Adam Smith, the 19th century biblical scholar, tells about one of his trips to the Holy Land and coming across a shepherd and his sheep. And this shepherd showed him the fold which the sheep were led into at night. He said it wasn't very large. The average flock of sheep was only some 20 to 30 sheep and goats. It was round, but some were square. So this is where they go at night, Smith asked. And they are perfectly safe. Yes, they are, he said. And Smith said to him, but there's no door. I am the door, the shepherd said. I am the door. And this wasn't a Christian man talking here. He wasn't speaking in the language of the New Testament. He was a simple Arab shepherd, and he spoke from that viewpoint. What do you mean, he said, that you are the door? And he says, when the light is gone and the sheep are inside, I lie in that open space. And no sheep ever goes out except across my body. No wolf ever comes in except across my body. I am the door. When the sheep are sleeping, the shepherd can walk right through the fold and not one of those sheep will stir. He knows them all. They know him. He knows their names. But if a stranger tried to do the same, within that sheepfold there would be pandemonium. It was census time. Time for the government to count the people. And this was a poor family. And they lived in the mountains. But they needed to be counted. And so the census taker asked the mother how many dependents she had. And she began, well, there's Rosalie and there's Billy and there's little Luella and there's little Willie the dog. And the government man interrupted and he said, I'm sorry, madam, you do not understand. I only need humans. Oh, well, she said, there's Rosalie and there's Billy and there's little Luella. And the exasperated government man stopped her again and he says, madam, you still don't understand. I don't need their names. I'm only interested in numbers. And the mother's very innocent reply was, I'm sorry, I don't know their numbers. I only know them by their names. Don't you find it amazing and reassuring that Jesus, the light of the world, the creator of the whole universe, knows names? He knows our names. He knows the names of every star out in the universe. He knows them all. And he knows your name. And he knows your situation. He knows what your life is about. You know, when you watch the television news and they report on an incident which happened in some area of the city, maybe a drug bust, maybe a grow operation, maybe a violent incident, and they invariably interview the neighbours. And the neighbours are always shocked. And they say, but we know these people. They seem to be decent folks, ordinary folks. It just seems impossible that they would be involved in something like whatever. And this is the difference between God and us, between God and the neighbours. We only think we know. There are lots of things that we think we know. But because Jesus knows you and he knows your situation, he knows. And he knows what it takes to get you into heaven, which is what his great desire is, to get all of us to heaven. And in John 10 and verse 9, which is immediately before our scripture reading today, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And in John 14, he tells us, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you have an assurance about your salvation? Do you know for sure that you are going to heaven? Do you know that? And if you're really not sure, Jesus also says, come to me. Come to me and I will give you. I will give you what you need. I will give you rest. I will give you assurance. I will give you life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to give you rest, peace, assurance, and an eternal destination of heaven. The Palestinian shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him. And in his presence, they know that they are safe. And Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they know me. And he says, listen, listen to my voice. The most popular and best known psalm in the whole Bible is Psalm 23. If I asked for a show of hands of those who know it by heart, most hands would go up. Most of us can get through the six verses of The Lord's My Shepherd. It is part of our Christian heritage. It is part of our life. It is part of our foundations. It is one of the things that we lean upon, which gives us strength and support and comfort and inspiration. And it is popular, not just because of the peace that it radiates, but most importantly, because it is true. The story of the fox and the tiger is a legend, is a story, is a parable, it's a story. But the 23rd Psalm is true. It is what God, our shepherd, does for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the provider of everything that is promised in that beautiful old psalm, the 23rd Psalm. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. Guess what we're going to sing next? We stand and we sing to the glory of God that great old hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, hymn number 50. Dazzled by the array of desserts, there may just be some left. 3:12 to be God's people. now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.